Good morning. It is so good to be with you. It's taken 88 days to get back to this point, and I know for many of you, maybe that might seem like not much time, but for me, it's been a long journey. And being away from all of you, it gives this position right here a sense of sacred honor that I will never take for granted, because to have this privilege week in and week out, and even in other capacities during the week, it is an honor. And it is something I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to be able to speak into your life, into your children, into your marriages, to see God do something beautiful and to be a mouthpiece for that. It's a terrifying honor. And I want to say thank you. This whole journey has been crazy, and it's not possible to do what we did without so many people. And Emily kind of beat me to it, but you know, she said the phrase, mission accomplished. 89 days ago, we set out on a journey as a church to do something unique, something that you couldn't pay me $1 million to see. And people would always say to me, why do you keep saying we are doing something as a church? Why is it we? You're the one going into surgery. It's because we, as the church, stepped up in unique ways. Leaders stepped into places that they didn't usually serve in. You made meals. I actually gained a lot of weight, believe it or not, from all of you. It's your fault. So I've tried to lose it quickly. But you made amazing meals. You prayed. You came to a banquet that was put on for Michelle and I, and thank you doesn't even do justice to the overflowing gratitude we feel for this community here. It's an honor to be in this position. And I know for the staff, for the team, people who are up here, elders, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. You've done an amazing job, Pastor Daniel and Kristen. Stand up real quick, if you will. I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. It is an honor. It is an honor and joy to be able to be away doing something really unique and extraordinary and know the amazing care that this church is in Pastor Daniel's hands. And I just want to say thank you. It's an honor to serve beside my brother, my best friend. And it was everything to be able to step away to heal and know that every week in and week out, there was solid preaching coming and his leadership. So thank you from the bottom of my heart to both of you. Before I say any more words, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you, and we thank you. We thank you for this morning, the first Sunday after Easter, after living the resurrection. We pray, Father, this morning you would open our eyes to see, our hearts to feel, that we would sense your presence, your power, your conviction in fresh and new ways. Father, this morning, give us a revelation of your faithfulness, of your love. Every word I say, everything we do, all of it, Father, let it be anointed by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen. I want to encourage you to be praying. I should have just prayed right now for Stan Deering, who's in the hospital. Stan is an amazing leader, deacon here, and he, I believe, just got diagnosed with diverticulitis, and he's in a lot of pain right now at the hospital. So you know what? I'm just going to pray for him. I want you guys to agree with me in prayer. Remember, when we pray, just like that, we are in the presence of the living God, and we have authority given to us in prayer. So let's pray. Father, in Stan's room, where he's at in the hospital, we pray, Holy Spirit, that your angels would surround him. We pray that you give wisdom to doctors, that the pain that he's in, that the struggle he's feeling, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you bring release from suffering, that you bring a respite and rest over his body. We know the God that we serve, and we trust you because you are always good, you are always faithful, even when we don't see what you're up to, Lord. We pray for that kind of perspective to be in Stan, and we know it is, but heal his body in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in this whole journey, one phrase that keeps coming back is faithful and true. That God is always faithful. God is always true to his word to be present. And before we jump into the scriptures and kind of glean from that truth this morning, one of the biggest examples of faithfulness for me over this little journey has really been Michelle. And I want to say thank you to Michelle. And I know you're so annoyed. I know. Just, you got to just take it, okay? So oftentimes when we go through things, God will put people around us who exemplify the patience and love of Jesus to help us get through a season. Well, I was so gifted and honored to have my wife be that person who not only for 3 months of surgery recovery, but even 9 months before that time, a challenging year, and she's been my rock. You've been amazing. Don't ever tell people how much you had to be there for me, okay? There's a lot, okay? But she's been there through thick and thin, and our church is in an amazing place to have such an amazing leader in Michelle to be by our side, and my side especially. So I love you and thank you. Okay? Okay. You will never hear about the surgery ever again. Done. Here we go. God's calling us to go to a new place. That phrase, ever present, always faithful, that you see on the stage, took on a whole new meaning for me. I guess one more story. Day three, okay? I can't help it. I've been like a bullet in a cannon, or a cannonball, I guess, ready to go. Last night, I couldn't even sleep. I had pregame jitters. I was so excited to be with you, okay? So that phrase, faithful and true, took on new meaning. And day three after the surgery, days one and two were full of adrenaline. I was pumped. I was excited. It felt great. I'm like, my body feels awesome. The nurses would remind me, that's because you have pain meds going through your system. Eventually, they're going to wear off. Didn't really believe it. Day three came. Holy moly, I woke up, felt like a semi hit my body. It was rough. Everything was setting in. We began our morning routine. Michelle and I got dressed in my gown. Sometimes it was buttoned up in the back, sometimes it wasn't. Doesn't matter, okay? I think it was buttoned up. We went on a walk, and I just was holding my IV thing, and I'm just, you know, snail's pace going little bit by little bit. And we got to this window that we would go to every morning where I would just kind of look outside and a dream of when this is all done and the recovery is over and I'm able to walk again normally. And we came to the window and she was holding my hand and all of a sudden I just broke down. I just started crying and sobbing, saying, it's so hard. I couldn't say anything. And she might remember, I just kept saying, it's just so hard. It's so hard. I didn't expect this. It's so hard. And in that moment, everything hit me. The pain was way more than I thought it was going to be. The feeling of just fear of a long journey ahead of me, I was scared in that moment, but also overwhelmed by everything, the support, the prayers, the encouragement. It all came crashing on that day three. And we went back to the room, and Michelle got situated in kind of, there's a guest room attached to where I was. And I sat in my little chair, and I had my Bible with me, and I was just praying, and I was reading the best I could, and I heard the voice of the Spirit of God in a way that I hadn't before. And it was one of those moments where time stands still, and he said to me, don't forget, I am faithful, I am true, I will not leave your side. And in that moment, I closed my Bible, and I just sat there, and I said, Father, was that you? I hear you. I hear your voice. And it brought so much peace in my room, and it changed everything in that moment. As time went on, I wish I could say from that point on, when it got difficult, that I was great. I remembered, God is faithful, God is true, I got this. Not at all. Not at all. Any time that it got difficult in the hospital or at home and I just got angry, the voice of God louder and louder, I am faithful, I am true. I will not leave your side. And again, I am faithful. I am true. I will not leave your side. It was a phrase that I would write in my journals, a phrase that I have ringing off the walls of my mind. But what was happening? What was happening that was carrying me along in that moment? Was it just me having a mental recognition of a truth that God is faithful in his character? Is that what it was? No. It was an encounter with a person, with the presence of God. It was an encounter with the living God who is alive. What Jane shared, the resurrection, right? Our King is alive. I love what Pastor Daniel preached last week, that Jesus rose from the dead, right? On that Sunday, we celebrate it. What about Wednesday? Well, what about a week later? Here we are. Our King is still alive. He is still faithful. He is still true to his word to walk beside us, to raise us up when we can't stand, to lead us when we're having difficulty navigating where we're supposed to go. That's what he does. It's what he promises, even when it's bleak, even when we don't understand and see what God is up to. He's always faithful. It's who he is. This morning, we're going to jump into an Old Testament scripture and a New Testament scripture, and then we're going to stop in between somewhere, but I want us to see something very important this morning. That God, in his core, who he is faithful. And his faithfulness is not something meant for us to recognize here. It is something for us to experience by how we respond to what we go through in life. First verse, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. We're going to hit verse 4, but I'm going to start in verse 1. Now, this is Moses declaring in song, okay? He's singing this. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop like the rain, my speech condense like the dew, like gentle rain on grass, like showers on new growth. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his work is perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God, without deceit, just and upright is he. We could go back even further. Since the beginning, God was always faithful. All right, let's jump way far ahead. Romans 3:3. I know on the screen it'll say another verse in 2 Timothy. It's cut off a little bit. But we're going to go to Romans 3:3. This morning in prayer, the Lord brought this verse to my attention. I knew we were going to go here instead. Romans 3:3, Paul says this statement that if you blink, you'll miss it, but it is foundational. He says, what if some, and he's talking about the Israelites, what if some were unfaithful? Will their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Although everyone is a liar, let God be proved true as it is written. From Moses to Paul, to David in the Psalms, and everybody else in between, the common thread that runs through the entire narrative of Scripture is that we are in a covenant with a faithful God, a God who walks beside us, a God who will not give up on us. Even when we are faithless, he is still faithful. Even when we walk away from him, he is still faithful. You see, so often when we pray, we go to this place of, God, I just pray that you'll do this. God, I pray that you'll act in this situation. God, I want you to change this for me and make this happen. Trust me, I did that a lot these last, 88 days, a lot. But prayer is also an invitation to encounter the character of who God is, not just ask him to do something. In fact, all through Scripture, God is more concerned that you have a revelation of who he is versus knowledge of what he can do. When Moses was talking with God in the burning bush, and God said, I want you to go to Israel, I want you to tell them that I'm sending you. And he says, but who do I tell them is sending me? Who do I say his name is? God doesn't say, I do that I do. If you don't know the story, I know it sounds really confusing. It'll take a long time, okay? Just trust me on this. He doesn't say, I do this and I do that. Tell them, bring up my record of action and what I've done. He doesn't say that. He says, Moses, when you go to Israel, when you tell the people, I want you to tell them that I am sent you. I am a statement of character, of fidelity, of faithfulness. When they look at Moses and say, okay, what authority do you come here? And Moses is able to say, I am has sent me. What triggered in the minds of the Israelites was, oh my gosh, he's right. The one who sent Moses really is the faithful one. The one who's been with us. The one who will not forget us. That's the God who is with Moses. I am that I am, not I do what I do. You see, what drew me to Michelle back before when we got before we got married, it wasn't what she did, it was who she was. Just like for any of us, when we find somebody that we want to spend the rest of our life with, we look at that person's heart, who they are, their being, and it draws us in to a place where we want to be with that person forever because of their character, because of their heart. Do you ever notice how in the Old Testament, the prophets would speak of the relationship that we have with God, but they would speak about it in marriage language? You've been betrothed to God. You know, Israel, you're committing an affair with God. You're going to idolatry. Jesus and Paul in the New Testament, they talk about the bride of Christ being pure and chaste, holy for the Lord. Why? Because since the dawn of time, even in the garden, your life was meant to be consumed with a revelation, not of what God does, but of who God is, the faithful one. The one who will not leave your side. The one who gives you strength that you didn't see coming. When I say faithfulness, here's what is used in the Old Testament to describe that word. It's a word called hesed. Maybe you've heard it before, but it's defined as kindness, loving kindness, embodying a continued position of mercy and grace, always loyal, never leaving, continually trustworthy, a love demonstrated over and over with never a what's in it for me mindset. It is a joy to say to you even right now, the Father longs for you to have a deeper revelation of his character, of his faithfulness, of who he is, to rescue you from the routine of cultural Christianity, where you are because your parents told you were, or because you just belong to a church and go through the motions, into a transformation where, like Moses, you encounter the living God, and your life can't help but be transformed because you have come into contact with the divine one, the character, God Almighty, Yahweh. That's relationship. And he's right here waiting. But how do we do that? I think Moses gives us an idea. All right, so now we're going to plant ourselves in a little story, Exodus 34. And for those who maybe don't know the story of Moses, his is an interesting story. But he's the leader of this ragtag group of Israelites. They go through the wilderness. They go through journey after journey to figure out where God is leading them. And again, they mess up, all right? If you ever are concerned about your own sin and misgivings, just read the Old Testament. You're going to feel a lot better about yourself, okay? So Moses leads this group of people. And one time he goes up to a mountain to talk with God. And God tells him, this is what you're going to do. You're going to take these commandments down. You're going to carry them on stone tablets. And he keeps telling them all these things. And then while, you know, he's up on the mountain, Israelites get impatient, and they do the opposite of God's character. They become faithless, and they worship idols. They worship a golden calf, and they throw this faithfulness of God to the side. And so Moses goes back up a second time. And I'm going to pick up in Exodus 34, verse 1, and I'm going to read all the way through 9. And as you read this, or as you hear this story, pay close attention to how Moses responds to this whole moment that's unfolding. The Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tablets of stone like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and do not let anyone be seen throughout all the mountain. Do not let flocks or herds graze in front of that mountain at all. So Moses cut 2 tablets of stone like the former ones, and he rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. and took in his hand the two tablets. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and he proclaimed the name, the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, now pay attention to this, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped. He said, if I know that I have now found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. Do you see what happened there? Moses came up on the mountain. God didn't jump right into, this is what you're going to do, this is what I'm going to do. God began with, again, a revelation. This is who I am. I am faithful. I have steadfast love. I have grace, encouragement, kindness, the whole gamut. Now, I don't know about you and I, but if Moses needed to have a moment of a deeper revelation of who God is, that he's the faithful one, how much more so do you and I need to have that revelation day in and day out, all the time? And Moses, look what he did. He just stopped and he worshiped. One of the most tragic things happening in the church today is that we come into the church and there's an expectation in, you know, for people who are maybe in the seats, that whatever happens up here, we'll just give them three practical things for how to overcome a woe in life. My goodness. What would be much more beneficial for the church is to stop, to recognize the terrifyingly beautiful presence of the God that we are in, his presence, having a revelation of who he is, that to our core we would be shaken again to see his beauty, to see his might, to see his faithfulness. And from that place, then we figure out, this is how I live in light of the revelation of meeting God face to face. Just like Moses. That's what God longs to do in the church. He wants us to be like Moses again. To go up that mountain. To shut our mouth for a moment. And just recognize the presence of the Holy One. And to allow his holiness to melt away the dross, the sin, the stains that are upon our minds and hearts. And to wake us up. But that won't happen by doing X, Y, Z. It happens by falling flat on your face and worshiping the one who is worthy of all worship, the one who is faithful. And God will meet you, and he will lift that layer like an onion of superficiality or whatever it might be. I've got it. I've had it many times. And he'll bring you into a new understanding of what it means to be a child of God, what it means to have authority, what it means to be forgiven, what it means to have a faithful God. He doesn't leave us. He walks beside us. When we are faithless, he's faithful. When we waver and go back and forth, he's constant. When we have sin, he remains holy and forgives. When we purposely walk away from him because of anger, he walks behind us. When we're in a dry and desolate, barren wasteland, he stands there right around the corner with buckets full of anointing and power and his spirit, waiting for you to get hungry enough. In good times, bad times. While we are like this, he is this. He's the stable one, We are the unstable ones, right? But sometimes we base our closeness with God on what we perceive he's doing in our lives. It's not how faithfulness works. Yesterday I got together with my mom and we hung out for a little while and it was amazing. And about a month before yesterday, we got together at that time too, at her house. And I told her I was gonna share this story. But I was talking to her and she was giving me details that no son wants to hear. Plans, things that maybe to plan for. And I said, Mom, I don't wanna hear these things. And she laughed, because she's hilarious. She laughed and said, oh, just listen. She told me some things. And I told her, you know, in that moment, I said, okay, you know what? So we talked, but then she said something so beautiful and something so powerful. And when I told her yesterday I was going to share this, she laughed and she reaffirmed everything she said. She said, you know, I'm so thankful I'm a follower of Jesus. Because no matter what happens, God's faithful. No matter where life will lead in my situation, I'm good because God is faithful. He's with me. I've never doubted it once. I just sat there and I just listened. And I smiled, had a few tears well up in the corner of my eye. I said, Mom, I'm so proud of you. Like, I'm so proud of your mindset. Because that's maturity right there. That's what understanding God is like. Because faithfulness isn't tied to an outcome. Faithfulness is tied to the journey of relationship with our covenant God who promised to be by our side because we are his children. And she's exemplifying that. And I encourage you, continue to pray for our family. We need that miracle still. And we trust that God's going to deliver. But I know I can speak for Michelle and I. We've seen God be faithful in just walking beside us, my mom, our whole family. But you see, she understands something that many of us forget. That the beauty of this journey with God is steeped in a relationship with someone who will never leave us. And so my mom took a situation that's happening, and she responded in a way that brought about a deeper understanding of God's faithfulness. Even talking to her yesterday about it. So when we think about life then, and this is how we're going to bring this all home, when we think about life, we have to realize that all of life, the challenges, the frustrations, the things that make us angry in our careers, the things that don't turn out the way we expect, all of those are opportunities to respond in a way that nurtures a new level of faithfulness, of experiencing God's faithfulness. Maybe it's a setback. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's something that you go through. And while your emotions want to take the best of you and you want to respond in anger, frustration, if we can respond in a way that we lean into the Father, we go deeper and deeper into understanding that he is with us. And now I get it. Maybe some of you might think, well, that's kind of naive. You know, is it really that simple? Just everything that happens in life is an opportunity to grow in God's faithfulness? That's fair. Think about Paul. Think about Jesus. Think about Peter. Think about John. Were these leaders naive? I don't think so. These men were persecuted, hunted down, tortured. Yet to the very end, they demonstrated a radical faith and trust in God because they knew the one they served. If those individuals can do it, you and I can too. See, when setbacks come in the world, they get defeated. Anger, frustration, woe is me, pity party. There is no God. Look what's happening. But not for the children of God. Because we understand that we're pilgrims here. We're passing through. And God is faithful, and he will lead us. He will steer our direction. He's given us his Holy Spirit to guide us into understanding how to navigate with him. But it's all in how we respond. If you're taking notes or writing anything down, I want you to write E plus R equals O. Every event will always have a response, and there will always be an outcome. Sometimes you can't control the event, but you can always control the response. And there will always be an outcome. Moses, many events in life with God. He had every right to run the other way, but his response was always to run deeper into the Father, more passionate, more desperation, more seeking. And what was the outcome? He led an entire group of people into the promised land. Acts 16, Paul and Silas in prison, beaten, chained to the wall. In the midnight hour, it says they prayed. They sang songs of worship. That was their response. What was the outcome? Suddenly there was an earthquake. The chains came off. I wish I could say that might happen every time. Who knows? What I do know is every single individual that I have ever admired in the Word of God has responded in ways that is real. There's desperation, and there's a passion to dive deeper into this faithful one and to ask God for an encounter with his presence. What God longs to do in your life, in this church, is to lift our level of expectation and faith in the one we serve. You serve a big God. But maybe you've lived in defeat for so long, you've allowed bitterness and pain to chain you down. Man, God's faithful. Stay with him. His character, he longs to walk beside you, to lead you. The phrase I said at the beginning, the God we serve is faithful and true. It rings in my head all the time I pray. And the biggest thing that strikes me when I think about that phrase now, than maybe before, is that God always intends for you to grow beyond who you are right now. If you ever accept that who you are right now is your arrival, I think you're settling for so much shorter than what God intends for your life. But the only way to break through, to grow in faith, to grow as a man and woman of God, is to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you deeper into the faithful one. Because if you aren't growing, that's not on God. That's on us. He has so much more for us, so much more for you. Don't allow cynicism, skepticism, lethargy, laziness, don't let it stand in the way of the God who's right in front of you, a God full of passion and love for your heart and for your soul and for your growth. He is faithful. He is true. He's going to lead you to higher ground. Do you believe that? He's going to lead this church to higher ground. He's going to bring fresh vision and understanding of who we are and what we're called to do for our city, for our state, for our nation, and for this world. But it begins with a revelation of the faithful one. Before we do anything else, Luke 18:8, Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I pray that when Jesus looks at High Mill Church, every single one of us, he can say without a shadow of a doubt, I see my faithful children. I see those who are longing to encounter my faithfulness. Josh, why don't you come on up and join me? I pray. prayed so much. You know, Lord, my first time back, I imagine I'd, you know, be maybe a little rusty. I actually thought I might get dizzy or lightheaded talking so much. I haven't talked this much in a long time. But I prayed, Lord, let what I share be anointed with your Spirit and let it resonate with at least one person. Because I know these faces in this room, and you know me. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to turn a page and bring you a new revelation of his faithfulness. And so, if it's that one person, or if there's more, I understand we'll go into communion here in a moment. We'll celebrate, we'll worship together, but just this holy moment, there's an anointing in this room for those who long to experience a new understanding of who God is, a new revelation. Can you come forward and I want to pray with you? Go ahead and stand. Everybody, stand up with me. Come forward, and I want to pray over you so that today could be a new journey, a new page that you're turning, experiencing the faithful one. Come forward, and let's pray. Josh, could you sing something behind me that talks about the faithfulness of God? And while we're praying down front, I want us to make this, and come on closer, come closer, an environment of worship and prayer as Josh leads us. But down front, we're going to be praying and interceding. Prayer team, others, come up behind those up front here, and let's pray, okay? Everybody down front, I've missed seeing you down front like this. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord longs to do a fresh new work in your life, but you've held things for too long, like hot potato. You ever heard that game? You held it too long, and the Holy Spirit's saying, get rid of it. Throw it to the side. When I was praying for this moment this morning, God showed me two individuals in my head. I have no idea who the heck they are. They might be back here still, but two individuals who you are hanging on to something that is painful. And God has that megaphone saying, do you not see that I am the faithful one? Look what I have done in your life before, again and again and again. Why be robbed right now? The Holy Spirit longs to bring that suddenly into your life, just like in Acts 16. And so let's just begin to pray, okay? Lift your voice. Pray right now. Say, Holy Spirit, give me a new revelation of your faithfulness. Who God is, Josh, go ahead. We praise you, Father.